Welcome to our podcast, Forgotten Victims, The Forensic Interview.
Forensic interviewing traditionally has been associated with child victims. Over the past decade, there's been an evolution in the field of forensic interviewing where it's being applied to vulnerable victims of all ages, forgotten victims, victims with disabilities, mental health disorders, and older adult populations.
All right, Scott and I are back. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Stace.
Hey, today we are going to be talking about autism, which is one of our favorite things to talk about. We have a couple of episodes, but today we're going to specifically be talking about some of the myths that we have encountered and people have asked us about in our work when it comes to people with autism. And so today's focus is going to be around some of those myths, specifically when we're talking about like emotion and impact when we are doing interviews and investigations involving victims with autism. So let's talk about some of those things that we've heard, Scott, that are out
there. Sure. Yeah, you know what? This does come up a lot. People talk about autism and emotion and other things. So just as a reiteration, autism is a spectrum disorder. Like all people fall on a spectrum, people with autism fall on a spectrum. So there's a lot of variability that you've heard us probably say, if you met one person with autism, you met one person with autism. We didn't coin that phrase, that's been said for a while, but we've repeated it. And the idea that people with autism don't have emotions is incorrect. It's just categorically incorrect. Do the brains of individuals with autism compared to a neurotypical brain versus a neurodiverse brain, do they activate differently? Yes, and we've studied this through fMRI technology. We know that the brains activate differently. We know that people perceive faces differently. There's different areas of the brain that activate differently, but it doesn't mean that people with autism don't have emotions. They do, and they can experience trauma just like anybody else. And just like anybody else, an event that I experience may wind up being a traumatic event for me, and you experience the exact same thing, Stacey, and it doesn't have the impact of trauma on you. So just like people without autism, traumatic events impact people with autism, and it can impact them differently. And I'll always defer to you and your knowledge based on trauma over mine to add to that.
Well, and I think that just what you said, Scott, is absolutely correct, because all, you know, 50 people could experience the same event and have a different response to it, but the same is going to be true for autism. And I think one of the things that people forget sometimes when they're talking about a diagnosis, autism being the example we're talking about today, is that it also is very much on a spectrum, and people are different, and individuals are still individuals. And to generalize any group would be dangerous, to expect the same response from someone because they have autism. So in a room full of 50 people with autism, all experiencing the same thing, they would also have different responses based on their life experience, based on their age, based on their culture and all the things.
Where they are on the spectrum, you know.
Exactly. Yeah,
the one thing to think about this is just because somebody doesn't look sad doesn't mean they're not sad, or doesn't mean they are sad if they look sad, or if somebody doesn't appear happy, it doesn't mean that they're not happy. People may not express the feelings that they're feeling inside, joy, anger, frustration, whatever it is, they may not be outwardly displaying that. It doesn't mean that they don't have it. Just like we talk about this with pain. There's some myths that, oh yeah, some people don't feel pain. And again, there are rare conditions where people don't have pain receptors or don't feel pain, but that's extremely rare. Outside of that, sometimes people just don't show that they're in pain. Most people listening to this probably have some sort of pain throughout the day in a part of their body that nobody knows about because they're not, you know, crying or they're not wincing. So just because people don't show that they're in pain doesn't mean that they're not. And same thing with really any emotion or feeling.
Well, and I love that you said that people don't necessarily show it, but I think even more than that, Scott, they don't show it in the way that someone without autism might show it, right? So you think of like joy or happiness, that someone's going to look like they're happy in some way. But I also have met people with autism that when they're happy, they're flapping their hands, right? Or having some other reaction with their body other than maybe what's expected by someone without autism. So I think those biases also shape the way that people perceive emotion in other people.
Absolutely. And I've seen individuals shake their hands when they're the opposite of happy and they're nervous and or frustrated. So different behaviors can convey or can look this, or the same behavior can look the same, but have different emotional ties back to it. So specifically, if we think about this in the context of criminal cases where, juries need want to understand what the impact of abuse and neglect have on with somebody with autism, then we would educate a jury if we were asked to be the expert, or somebody would want to educate a jury exactly what we're talking about right now.
Right, that what we expect to see, and I'm using air quotes, what we expect to see may not be
I
what
can
people
see you
actually
making
think.
air quotes.
I
Nobody
know, but
listening
people
can.
listening can't see my air quotes,
It's
Scott.
true.
So what we expect to see, again, based on our own experiences, personal for our own emotions or what we witness in other people, it may not look like what we expect, but that doesn't mean that people aren't showing their emotion. So it may be that they're not showing it at all, like you're saying, could still be feeling it and not showing it, or they may be showing it in ways that we haven't seen before in a really individual way. They're showing whatever that emotion is because that's their experience and the way that their brain's processing, or whatever whatever's going on for them, where they fall on that spectrum.
Okay, brass tacks. What does this mean for the forensic interview then, Stacey?
Oh yeah. Okay, so back to the whole point. So the whole point is, first of all, do not make assumptions if someone that you're interviewing has autism and doesn't look sad, but they're talking about something that is sad. Don't make assumptions about it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean that we need to make an assessment about them telling the truth or not telling the truth based on it. So I think that just not making judgments is important. And I also, we talk about this in training a lot, but if someone has experienced trauma, they may also have that sort of like blank expression. So just, trying not to make judgment regardless if someone has a diagnosis of autism or not. But I think for us as interviewers and investigators to, not let that interfere with what we're hearing and making sure that anything that needs to be followed up on, looking for corroborative evidence, all those things still happen. Even if the person doesn't, necessarily express emotion during the interview or during testimony. And like you said, educating juries about that will be important as well.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add would be, and maybe you, this was captured in what you were thinking, just explicitly, if we have a concern during or after the interview about somebody's emotion, just like we would with any other alleged victim, we can ask. You can ask a person with autism about their emotions.
Yeah, so I think that's another piece too. It's like often in interviews we'll ask people like, "Oh, how are you feeling?" right? Or what were your thoughts? Or what were your feelings during an event or before or after something happened? We should be doing that with people with autism as well, asking the questions, the same questions we would ask of anyone. We have to ask those questions. Don't avoid them because you think, "Oh, well, they don't feel," right? Or they don't have emotions. Because as we've talked about, they absolutely do. And the way that they feel, because if they were feeling scared in the moment or they were, fearful for their life, those are things that are helpful for us as interviewers to know. And certainly investigators need to know when they're thinking about what crimes may have been committed here. We need to be thinking about that.
Yes, yeah, also safety planning, and in some jurisdictions that is certainly relevant to charging.
Yes,
So,
exactly. So
all
ask
right, well, this may, what's that?
I said, so ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions.
That's it. This seems like a short one, but hopefully a useful one for folks.
That's right. More about autism if you need it, but hopefully we did a little myth busting for you today.
Yeah, we have other episodes that we go deeper into things with autism if
Oh
you're
yeah, we love
interested.
talking about autism, just whatever comes up. So
All
plenty
right.
more. This will go in the autism series. We'll talk to our producer about that.
Sounds good. Thanks,
All right.
Stace.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for listening. For more information about the work being done by Modell Consulting Group, visit our website, modellconsultinggroup.com, or follow us on social media.